One of the questions that a child of God asks in times of fear and pain and difficulties is, what is the Lord saying? And one of the challenges that we experience as God's children is ignoring all other voices and listening to the voice of God. What is the Lord saying to my situation? What is He saying to me? When I'm going through this, what is it that the Lord wants me to hear? That is a question that every child of God will ask. But also every child of God faces the challenge of ignoring all the other voices, because there are always many other voices, and listen to the voice of God. It is my hope that the Lord will use this message to at least bring us closer into hearing His voice. Father, I come before You this morning acknowledging Your presence in this place, thanking You for this moment and for Your word, praying that Your Holy Spirit, who teaches us, who enables us to understand Your word, will minister to us this morning. And that, Lord, at our own level, You will speak to us and You will accomplish what You intend to accomplish, and that through it all, You will be glorified, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Assyrian king is the most powerful ruler of his time. He has attacked all nations. Don't worry, we will go to the scriptures. Some of you are asking, why is he doing it differently today? What happened to him when he went to Kenya? Nothing happened. He has attacked, invaded all other nations. He has invaded the northern kingdom of Israel. And now he wants to invade the southern kingdom of Israel. First time he came, King Hezekiah offered him some gifts and money. He took the gold that was in his country, in Jerusalem, and he offered them to the king of Assyria so that he can have peace with him. But the Assyrian king wants his total surrender. And he's coming back again. And this time he sends one of his officials to bring a message to Hezekiah. A threatening message. And this is his message in 2 Kings 18. From verse 28, this is what he says to Hezekiah. The commander stood and called out in Hebrew. At first, he spoke in Hebrew, and Hezekiah's people told him to speak in Aramaic so that only the officials can hear what he's saying. But he said, no, I'm not just speaking to you. I want the people to hear also, because his goal was to bring fear. He called out in Hebrew, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern. Until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said. The message from the king of Assyria is convincing. It is a powerful message. It is promising. He is telling them that your king cannot protect you from me. Do not rely on your king. He's also telling them that your God cannot protect you from me. Do not rely on your God, the Lord. And he is telling them that I am the person that you should trust, that you should rely on. Make peace with me so that you can prosper. And he gives them examples. He tells them, I have invaded other nations that have gods, including Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel that had turned away from the Lord and believed in other gods. I have invaded it too, and their gods could not protect them. What makes you think that the Lord will protect you? It's very convincing. You want to believe in what he says. It's the voice of the enemy that wants to draw you away from the Lord, from relying on the Lord, from trusting in the Lord, from depending on the Lord. This is what is happening to God's people here. Hezekiah, trust in the Lord. He has seen God in his life. He has experienced his power. But when he hears this message, he is distressed. His people are distressed. They torn their clothes. They are afraid because the message that they are hearing is clear, is convincing, and intimidating. And so when they bring the message to the king, and the king is distressed, Hezekiah does what every child of God need to do. The king of Assyria wants Hezekiah and his people to think that God has abandoned them and he wants them to surrender to the king of Assyria. That's what he wants them to think. He wants them to think that their God cannot protect them because the other gods have not been able to protect their people. He is mistaking the Lord with other gods. But because Hezekiah trusts in the Lord, our God, this is what he does in chapter 19. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went to the temple of the Lord. Hezekiah trusts in the Lord, and therefore he turns to the Lord. What happens when you hear a message that is convincing, that is threatening, and that is distressing? What happens when you face a situation that is bringing fear to your life? A situation that attempts to rob you of your faith. As a Christian, what do you do? How do you respond? Hezekiah responds by turning to the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priests, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They told him, "This is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives." In verse 5 of chapter 19, when King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Listen to what God says here. Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. You've heard what the commander has said. You've heard the message of the king of Assyria. But this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard." Let me just take a pause there. I think there are some of us that just need to hear that part of Scripture. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. There's a message that has come to you, a message that does not come from the Lord. A message that you've heard from a friend, a message that you've heard from another person, from the news, a thought that has come to your mind that is disturbing your life, is bringing fear and taking away your peace. Do not be afraid of what you've heard. those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen. When he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. God is speaking now. He is speaking to the king. He is giving a message, and it is a message of assurance. He's telling Hezekiah, don't be afraid. I have already taken care of that. Don't be afraid of how powerful this king appears to be. Don't be afraid of his message. I have already taken care of him. He will hear a certain report. He will return to his country, and I will have him killed there. As far as God is concerned, it's already done. Do you know why? Because he can see the reality behind every situation. You and I are not able to do that. When Hezekiah and his people hears this message, all they can see is the Assyrian army, the Assyrian commander. All they can think of is what they have been able to accomplish, the nations that they have invaded and everything they have done. But the Lord looks at the same people and he can see the truth. And the truth is, the Assyrian king is going to die. See, the importance of turning to the Lord is that we allow him to help us see the reality of what we are going through. Because you and I are limited in many ways. Now, as an American, you may not like to be limited, but that's the truth. We are limited. Here is the news flash. There is a lot that you and I cannot do. There is a lot that the Lord can do. And as a child of God, when you find yourself on that spot, on that place, where you don't know where your next step is going to be, where you are struggling to make a decision, you don't understand why this is happening, that's the time for you to turn to the one who knows everything. That's the time for you to turn to the Lord, because he knows the truth, the reality behind what you can see. I'm sure when King Hezekiah hears this message, it changes his perspective. It assures him, yes, I may still feel afraid, but deep inside, I know that the Lord is taking care of my situation. Why should we listen to the voice of the Lord? And by the way, when I'm talking about listening to God's voice, when I'm talking about hearing what the Lord is saying, I'm not limiting it to what he has already said in the Bible. God speaks to us by his Holy Spirit through his word, the Bible. Through circumstances that we face, and through people. Of course, everything he says has to agree with what he has already said. He's not going to say something that contradicts what he has already said. But when I'm talking about hearing what he's saying, I'm not limiting it to the written word. Sometimes, yes, he gives us deeper insights in his word or from his word. But sometimes he uses circumstances. Sometimes he brings a thought, an idea in our mind, and da-dang. Sometimes he speaks to us in prayer. I am praying about this issue, and suddenly the lights, they come off or they go off? They should come on. He opens my mind. He enables me to see, to know what I should do. He gives me an idea that has nothing to do with a verse of the Bible, but it is not, does not contradict what he has said in his Bible, in his word. And every Christian must be willing to listen to what God is saying to them. Every Christian must be open to hearing what the Lord is speaking to their lives. Every Christian must be ready to hear what God is saying, because God speaks. And sometimes he uses me. Sometimes he uses you. Sometimes he will use our experiences. Why should we listen to what God is saying? Well, the simple answer to that is because we trust him. Why is Hezekiah turning to the Lord? You look at Hezekiah's life, all you can see is a king that trusts in the Lord. But you and I also know that, yes, we trust in him, but he loves us. When you know that someone loves you, you will want to hear what they have to say. We trust him. He loves us. If you believe that God loves you, then it should be your desire to want to hear what God is saying. The problem with our Christianity today is we try to explain everything from a logical point of view. Why is New England the hardest place as far as the gospel is concerned? You will hear answers like, oh, because people are educated. Oh, because people are self-sufficient. They want nothing to do with God because they have everything they want or everything they think they need. No. The real answer is because the enemy has a footstool. Because the only person against the gospel is the devil. He may use all those other things, but he's the one who is against it. And therefore, we should approach this as a spiritual battle. But you know, the temptation is to approach it from a logical point of view. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, a centurion came to Christ. He wanted Jesus to perform a miracle for him. He came for help. And Jesus said, I will come to your house. Just give me a moment. I need to deal with what I'm dealing with, and then I'm going to come there, and I'm going to bring healing to your house. And this centurion looked at Jesus and said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. This centurion understood one thing that you and I need to understand. He understood the message that I'm sharing with you today, and that is God's word brings assurance. That's why listening to his voice is so important. That's why, as a child of God, hearing his voice, wanting to know what he's saying, is so important, because his word brings assurance. That's why King Hezekiah turns to the Lord. Because he wants to know what the Lord is going to say. He knows what the king of Assyria has said. He knows that, but he wants to know what the Lord says, because his word brings assurance. Just say the word. We may call ourselves Southside Bible Fellowship, and we may love our Bibles, but until we learn to listen to what God is speaking to us, we will just be like any other church, any other Christian. We may know a lot of verses of the Bible, but until we allow the Holy Spirit to use those scriptures to speak to us, so that we can hear his voice speaking to our particular situations, we will just be like any other Christian. And I'm not saying that next Sunday everyone comes here claiming that the Lord has spoken to them with something new. You know, sometimes God reveals something to you that is specifically for you. And sometimes he does reveal something to you so that you can share with others. One example that I have is when I was in Kenya in 2006, and we had four men in our church who felt like God was calling them to full-time ministry, but they couldn't afford going to a Bible college. And then I offered to train them using my material from college, and I would meet with them in the evenings. We did that for 2 years. I trained them everything that I knew, everything that I had learned. And by the end of 2 years, we had a graduation for them. And it was after that graduation that God spoke to me. I did not hear a loud voice. I did not hear a still small voice. But I know that he spoke to me. Many other pastors came, and they were asking for that training. Said, I want to be trained too. I want to be trained too. And as many as them came, God opened my eyes to the need that we have in Kenya. It was clear that God was telling me, there is need here, and I want to use you. And that's the reason that I have a passion to see pastors trained. If you look at your bulletin or the picture that you have on the screen, that's one of the pastors that graduated last week when I was in Kenya. And one of the things that we train these pastors is to speak to their people what God is saying. The temptation of any pastor is to tell people, one, what they want to hear, and two, what the pastor wants them to hear. And in places like Africa, pastors are tempted to take advantage of their people because they see these televangelist pastors and giving their testimonies and how wealthy they are, and everyone is tempted to be like them. And therefore, we end up telling people not only what they want to hear, but also what we want them to hear so that we can get what we want to get from them. One of the encouragement, you look at this pastor here, he's focusing on the Bible. That's one of the emphases we train them to. That try to see, try to get what the Bible, God is speaking through his word, because that's what you want to share with his people. And I want to thank you so much for your support and for your prayers and for praying for my family and all that. Everything that you do towards this is helping the church in Kenya become more stronger and stronger. But you, as a Christian, just ask yourself, if you've been a Christian for some time, you have an experience that you can say, God spoke to me. There's an experience you have that when you tell that story, you get to a point where you say, yeah, God spoke to me here. And you, probably you didn't hear a voice. It's okay if you had a voice, our experiences are different. But you know that it was God who spoke to you, who provided that idea, that direction, that solution. You know that it was God. You have no doubt about that. Because when God speaks, he makes sure that you know it is him. Everyone in the Bible, when God spoke, they knew it was God. And they knew what he was saying. They knew what he expected them to do. Sometimes when we are claiming that we are not sure whether it is God or not, usually our struggle is not to know whether it is God, it is to do what we know God wants us to do. Because God he's not a God of confusion. He doesn't speak to us in ways that we don't understand. Like, most of you here don't understand Swahili, right? Swahili is our national language. So God will not speak to you in Swahili. He will not. He will speak to you in a language that you can understand. He does not seek to confuse us. He comes to our level of understanding and he speaks to us in a way we can understand. And if you've had a practical experience with the Lord, you will want to hear what he's saying. If you have experienced God in your life, you will want to hear what God is saying. If you have heard God's voice in the past, you will want to hear his voice in the present. You know how it feels to hear his voice. If you have a healthy relationship with the Lord, you will want to know what the Lord is saying to you. If you know the difference between the enemy's voice and the Lord's voice, you will want to know what the Lord is saying. You will want to hear his voice. If you understand your limitations and the enemy's tactics, you will want to hear the Lord's voice. I have said here before that the doctor's word is not the last word. The Lord's word is the last word. And we have so many testimonies of people where the doctors told them something and God had a different plan for them. As a Christian, every message that you hear, every word that you hear, listen to it, but take a pause and ask yourself, what is the Lord saying? I know what the enemy is saying. I know he wants me to be afraid. I know he wants me to be intimidated. I know he wants me to be depressed and be distressed. I know what the enemy is saying. I know what the doctor is saying. I have listened to him. I have seen him, but I want to know what the Lord is saying because his word brings assurance. That should be our attitude. You face a difficult situation. You try to analyze it. You try to interpret what's going on. And like the disciples, everything you're seeing is adding more fear and fear. When you focus on what you are facing, even God can be threatening to you. The disciples, they saw Jesus walking on water and they thought it was a ghost because of what they were going through. But when Jesus spoke and said, "It is I, do not be afraid," everything changed because his voice brought assurance. That's why, as a child of God, as a believer, you cannot stay away from what God is saying in your life. You cannot stay away from his word. You want to know what he has said. You want to know what he's saying. You want to hear his voice because you know, apart from all other voices, it is his voice that brings assurance. I wish that when Christians are going through a difficult moment, whether it's a relationship conflict or a financial problem or a health issue, I wish Christians would just take a pause and ask, what is God saying here? The problem is we are in a hurry. You know, we want God to speak when we want him to speak. And sometimes we want him to say what we want to hear. And because of that, while we know that he's speaking, we are not really paying attention because something deep in us tells us that what he's going to say has nothing to do with what I want to hear. So while we are expecting him to speak, we are not ready to listen. But you, man of God, you, woman of God, a child of God, when you understand that this God loves you, you will want to hear what he's saying. And your question and mine should be, what is God saying. Because his voice, his word, his message brings assurance. And every time he speaks, God reveals himself. He reveals his purpose. He reveals his ways. Every time he speaks, I pray that our church may become a hearing church where each one of us will be intentionally listening to what God is saying. That each one of us will face those moments that we face in life, and we will be listening to God's voice. And you know, his voice brings peace to us. His voice is a voice of hope. Listen to when Isaiah says, "Don't be afraid," to Hezekiah. It gives him peace. It reminds him that, yeah, I was afraid, but I shouldn't, because God is already taking care of this. His voice brings peace, brings hope, because it is a voice of assurance. It assures us that God is in control. It assures us that we can rely on him. We can trust him. We can believe him. And we can depend on him. And therefore, my brother and my sister, you will continue to hear so many voices. You will continue to receive so many reports. And some of them will bring fear to you. Some of them will take away your peace. Some of them will bring you sleepless nights. You will hear reports about your children, your grandchildren. You will hear reports from your doctors. And the enemy will be using those opportunities to bring destruction, to bring confusion, to shake your faith. When that happens, it is my hope and my prayer that you will turn to the Lord. And you will bring all those reports that you have received to the Lord. And your question will be, what are you saying, Lord? What do you want me to hear? It is only when we turn to God and we look at things from his perspective that we are able to see the reality. Apart from that, we cannot. When Jesus went to visit Martha and Mary when their brother had died, Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." That's what he said. Jesus still shed tears, but he knew that Lazarus was going to rise again. He He still grieved with the people, knowing that Lazarus was going to rise again. And Martha and Mary didn't understand what he meant. They thought he was talking about the resurrection day. But as far as Jesus is concerned, Lazarus was just sleeping. And he was going to wake him up. Martha and Mary and the other Jews that were there couldn't see that. Only Jesus knew the truth about that situation, and only Jesus could say, Lazarus will rise again. Only him could declare that Lazarus would awake. Only him had the word of assurance. And even though Martha and Mary and everyone else, including the disciples, could not see it, Jesus could see it. And when he called on Lazarus to come out, they saw it. But he said it before he did it. And you and I have a privilege of believing in his word, because we have a history of his work. We know what he has done. We can trust his word. We can listen to his voice. Because when he speaks, he declares. His word brings assurance. So next time you come to me with an issue, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what is the Lord saying? And every time we ask ourselves that question, we will find ourselves taking a pause and listening, because God is speaking, and his voice brings assurance. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your people, Lord. I know that you have ways of reaching unto them, speaking to them in ways that they can understand. I may have failed to do that. But I know your Holy Spirit has a way of weaving this message to fit our particular situations. With all the questions that we are asking and all the experiences that we are facing and the struggles that we are experiencing in life, you are there with us and you are saying something. Help us to hear you, Lord. Help us to listen to your voice. Because we want to please you. We want to do your will. Help us to hear you. Like King Hezekiah, Lord, when we find ourselves in those difficulties, help us to turn to you and to want to hear from you. As a church, Lord, and as we move forward as a family, help us to be a hearing church. So that, Father, we may do what pleases you, what brings glory to you, and what you are saying to us. As individuals, Lord, help us to hear your voice so that we may walk with you. And so that, Lord, in our lives, you may be glorified as well. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your people. And I thank you for what you are doing here. Father, we have no other God that we can turn to. We have no other Lord that we can submit to. We have you, Lord. And you know us. You call us by our names. You remind us of who you are to us and who we are to you. And may that truth sink in our hearts and enable us, Lord, to see each other from your perspective and to speak with one another in a way that brings healing. Lord, I just pray that we may see you even more in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.